I have argued before that we are all in ministry. You are full-time in ministry as I am. We never cease to be believers. We each one have a spiritual gift. We were gifted by God supernaturally to function as part of the body of Christ. My gift is mine. I use it in a different way than you do, but all of us are gifted. So all of us are in ministry. We have power from God to both enjoy God and to reveal God. One of the most powerful of those ministries that we could offer to others is comfort. I read to you probably the most powerful verse, I think, in Scripture as far as comfort is concerned. It is the only reason that I can see when people go through tragedy and suffering. People that know God, good people, not people that bring stuff on for themselves, which is, you know, that's a lesson in itself. But when people go through just horrible tragedy, why does God allow that? What is there a reason for it? When we go through deep difficulties, I look at it as a way that we can reach out to someone else who is suffering. When a believer suffers, that equips him to turn around and help somebody else that's suffering in the same way. And it brings someone comfort if you can look them straight in the eye and say, I know how you feel. If you've lost a job, if you've lost a child, if you've lost a parent, all of the things, cancer, leukemia. I've got a story that I'll tell you in a little bit that's tragic. But let's turn a corner from here now in 1 Thessalonians, because our passage is about comfort. Why Paul is comforted by the Thessalonian church. If you look with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 7. For this reason, brethren, in all our distress and affliction, we were comforted about you through your faith. For now, we really live if we stand firm in the Lord. How can we comfort others that care about us? Even Mary Kay and I are going out to see some children in, we'll see them in California, we'll see some others and grandchildren on our way back in New Mexico. But what brings us comfort when we see things about them? And how can we comfort them most? What is most comforting? How do you comfort loved ones? What's the best thing that you can do? So what brings comfort to others? In the School of Hard Knocks, it's How to Bring Comfort 101. There's a story of a young man, Douglas Maurer. He's 15, of Crèvecœur, Missouri. He'd been falling ill for several days. His temperature was ranging between 103 and 105, and he was suffering from severe flu-like symptoms. Finally, his mother took him to the hospital in St. Louis. Douglas Maurer was diagnosed as having leukemia. The doctors told him in frank terms about his disease. They said that for the next 3 years, he would have to undergo chemotherapy. They didn't sugarcoat the side effects. He told Douglas he would go bald and his body would most likely bloat. Upon learning this, he went into a deep depression, having a hard time. His aunt called a floral shop to send Douglas an arrangement of flowers. She told the clerk that it was for her teenage nephew who has leukemia. When the flowers arrived at the hospital, they were beautiful. Douglas read the card from his aunt. Then he saw a second card. It said, Douglas, I took your order. I work at Brick's Florist. I had leukemia when I was 7 years old. I'm 22 years old now. Good luck. My heart goes out to you sincerely, Laura Bradley. His face looked up and he said, oh. Well, it's funny. Douglas Maurer is in a hospital filled with millions of dollars of the most sophisticated medical equipment. He was being treated by expert doctors and nurses with medical training totaling in the hundreds of years. But it was a sales clerk in a flower shop, a woman making $170 a week who, by taking the time to care, and by willing to go with what her heart told her to do, that gave Douglas hope and the will to carry on. It's a beautiful story. We want to comfort others. We desire to be comforted by others. How does that work? What brings comfort? Our passage in 1 Thess shows us three. Let's begin it with a prayer. Father, thank you for this passage of Scripture, and I pray that you will comfort us and equip us to comfort others, and to share what we learn as we take every step in the life of ministry that you have given to each of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Number one, what brings comfort in the school of hard knocks? The first, and boy, those are kind of hard to read. Can you read this line? That one's 3:6. All right. They build upon each other. Okay, well, I'll tell you what it says in each of the slides. It's the color that does it. But verse 6, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always think kindly of us, longing to see us just as we also long to see you, for this reason, brethren, in all our distress and afflictions, we were comforted about you through your faith. So from verse 6, what brought them comfort is simply their, number one, faith and love. I put faith and love together rather than make it two. I connect them because I don't believe one is ever intended without the other. We demonstrate faith, and in that faith, then, it produces love in our lives. We see it in 1 John chapter 2, which says, in spite of the fact that I wish you could read it, but whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. And I've shared with you before what the Bible word perfected means. It has the idea of we are loved by God, and then from that we return that love. It comes full circle. That's a perfected love. We find it also in holiness, where God declares us holy. He calls us saints, and then he says, be holy because I'm holy. So we return that holiness. The same with righteousness. He declares us right with God. We are declared right. We're justified. He says, now live out that righteousness. So it is perfected. It comes full circle. Love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I have the gift of prophecy, know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. That faith produces love. And in John 13, by this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Even the demons can believe and tremble, but they cannot love. When I was an early believer, I was so big on the truth of Scripture, and it so impacted me that this is truth, that I almost forgot everything else. Only the truth is important. I want to preach the truth. The love, I knew people that came up in real wild churches and sometimes very emotional settings, and they're all big on love. Well, I'm big on truth. And it was almost as if I was adopting the truth and leaving the love off. But they're together. If our children and our grandchildren ever bring comfort to Mary Kay and myself or yours to you, it's when they show that faith in Christ and that love for Jesus Christ and for one another. There's nothing more encouraging or comforting. By their faith, they are secure in the hands of God. And I think of my own grandchildren. They trust in God, then, you know, when they show that love and faith, my work is done. It's now up to God and what he does with them. And I can just sit back and watch, and I can be comforted by their love. I love this story. Despite his busy schedule during the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln often visited the hospitals to cheer the wounded. Now, I hope that our movements don't get to the place where they start tearing down statues of Abraham Lincoln. They haven't yet, have they? I hope not. But on one occasion, Lincoln saw a young fellow who was near death in a hospital that he visited. "Is there anything I can do for you?" asked the compassionate president. "Please write a letter to my mother," came the reply. Unrecognized by the soldier, the chief executive sat down and wrote as the youth told him what to say. The letter read, "My dearest mother, I was badly hurt while doing my duty and I won't recover. Don't sorrow too much for me. May God bless you and Father. Kiss Mary and John for me." The young man was too weak to go on, so Lincoln signed the letter for him and then added this postscript, "Written for your son by Abraham Lincoln." While asking to see the note, the soldier was astonished to discover who had shown him such kindness and love. Are you really our president? He asked. Yes, was the quiet answer. Now, is there anything else I can do? The lad feebly replied, will you please hold my hand? I think it would help me to see through to the end. The tall, gaunt man granted his request, offering warm words of encouragement until death stole in with the dawn. I've been reading that story all week, and it's the first time I've actually got through it without crying, I think. Faith and love. What brings comfort? That is certainly there. Number two, stand firm. You can't read that little poem anyway. So, verse 7. For this reason, brethren, in all our distress and affliction, we were comforted about you through your faith. For now we really live, if you stand firm in the Lord. Taking a stand for your faith, sometimes that's hard to do. Sometimes we're so quiet about things in our faith that other people would never even know that we are a follower of Jesus Christ. But God wants us to take a stand, take a step forward, and reveal something in you that is only from God. It changes people's lives. I've shown you this verse so many times, you can't read it anyway. 1 Peter 4, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. The difficulties that we go through, and we don't like them. We naturally think they probably shouldn't ought to be there, but they are there. And don't be surprised when they're there, because they equip us for an opportunity to step up, to take a stand, to bring comfort, to show who we are in Christ. And then Ephesians chapter 6 in the spiritual warfare section. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. We bring everything down to such a physical level, and he says it's so much bigger than that. Your warfare, you're in a war, but this isn't it. It's a spiritual warfare against that we need spiritual weapons for. And he says, therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth. And he goes on with the weapons of our warfare, armor of the Spirit. But there's two places where that word stand appears. I wish you could read it. But the first one is in verse 11, where it says, stand firm. It's the Greek word histemi. It comes across into our language, histamines. And they are strengtheners. And then in verse 13, where it says, stand firm again against the devil, it is the word antihistamine. And we have antihistamines and histamines, and that basically to stand against. It is strength to resist attacks. And here with the histamines, it's in our bodies. But he's talking about in real life. And don't be afraid to step forward and take a stand for that which is true. Philippians chapter 1 says, only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come to you and see you or remain absent, so he's writing this letter to the Philippian church, I will hear that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. Striving together, taking a stand for faith. It's been easy in our country to not have to take a stand. We've had very little resistance to Christianity, but I think those times are changing, and our standing is going to cost us something. Peter writes, through Silvanus, our faithful brother, so I regard him. I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. Grace is so unnatural. And even amongst religious people, I find such a resistance to it that, it can't be that easy, that God is offering you something like eternal life and forgiveness, and there's not, you don't have to earn it. There's nothing you can do to acquire it. And we argue, no, it is a gift. And we can stand firm in something that we don't earn, we don't deserve, we've never done anything to acquire, and yet God gives it. And we can stand firm in such gift of God's grace. So what brings comfort? Faith and love brings comfort when we see it in those we love. And we can demonstrate that kind of comfort toward others. And second, standing firm. Number three, verses 9 and 10, prayer. Verse 9, for what thanks can we render to God for you in return for all the joy with which we rejoice before our God on your account? As we night and day keep praying most earnestly that we may see your face and may complete what is lacking in your faith. Prayer. Powerful ministry of prayer. And we've all got it. We've all got the ability to do it. I know several people in this church that can't get out anymore. I mean, they have difficulty walking. They have difficulty moving around, but they can pray. And it's a powerful ministry that I know Vicky has. I know Jerry Katz has a powerful ministry of prayer. Dwayne Friesen wakes up with a prayer and a song that he comes and shares with me, a song that's on his heart all day. And I pray with him almost every day during the week. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says, rejoice always. And it says, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You want to know God's will? Pray. Just pray as often as you can think of it. Thank God for everything that comes your way. Just an attitude of what is here, what I'm going through, and sometimes it's difficult, and sometimes it's painful, and sometimes I can't figure it out, but we can give thanks for it. And we pray to Him. And give Him, grant Him that He's the one that's allowed this in our lives. It brings comfort to others. It'll bring comfort even to ourselves. And then, of course, this passage, which I think is one of the most powerful passages in Scripture, Philippians chapter 4 says, be anxious for nothing. That is, don't be afraid about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray. How can I bring comfort to anyone? And this is fairly important to me. This is part of my job to comfort those in need, but it's also yours. And God will strategically take us and use us in other people's lives that need the comfort that we've received. We've gone through it. And we can say, I know how you feel. And they will know. If you've gone through it, they know it. Don't worry about anything. Pray. We're talking about bringing comfort to others and being comforted by others. What will comfort us most? When we see in them that faith and love. When we see in them that they take a stand for that which is true in a difficult time, in a difficult age. And then prayer, if we know that they are praying. I want to go to a passage that I've preached to you on several occasions, an Old Testament passage, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And this is an occasion where this king Jehoshaphat is invaded. Verse 1, 2 Chronicles 20. Now it came about after this that the sons of Moab and the sons of Ammon, together with some of the Munites, came to make war against Jehoshaphat. Fortunately, Jehoshaphat was a godly man. And in verse 3, Jehoshaphat was afraid and turned his attention to seek the Lord. And he brought all of Israel together. And in verse 6, and he said, O Lord, the God of our fathers, in prayer, are you not God in the heavens, and are you not ruler over all the kingdoms of the nations? Power and might are in your hand, so that no one can stand against you. And we're part of God's kingdom. We're part of God's family. We've been adopted into His family. Verse 12, O our God, will you not judge them? For we are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us. Nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And I've prayed this prayer with all of this COVID-19 stuff. It's such a mystery to me. I don't know what to believe. All you know is what you hear on the press, and I just have a hard time trusting any of it. So how do you go through? Well, you trust that God knows what He's doing. Power belongs to God. And we can use these principles for our kids, for our grandkids, and try to instill those things in them. This taking a stand thing. I remember when we had our little demonstration here in the square a couple weeks ago, and I had heard that there were going to be truckloads of people coming down from Lincoln and Omaha. And I wanted to be a part of that. I wanted to get in the middle of that. And I didn't know what to expect, but I was expecting about anything. And I was hoping to be able to take one of these Black Lives Matter signs and say, do I believe this, Black Lives Matter? And I would say, yeah, with all my heart. But that movement, I am completely against. It is for things that I cannot tolerate. It'll destroy this country if everybody gets around that kind of a movement. But is this where I want to take a stand? Do I want to take a stand against this movement? No, it's not worth it. That doesn't bring comfort to anybody. What brings comfort is faith and love, standing firm for grace and the gospel, and being in prayer. That's what matters, and that's what brings comfort. Let me close this with a prayer. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the comfort that we receive from you. And Father, the comfort that we can then show toward others. And I pray that you will use us in that regard. Help us to remember the faith and the love and just write it upon our hearts. And standing firm for that which is true and that which is gracious. And Father, the battle with prayer. I pray that you will use us powerfully toward one another in this body and toward all the loved ones that we encounter and pray for. I pray that you will bring honor to yourself through it. In Jesus' name, amen.